Hello, said Carrot uncertainly. Don't call him boy or pat him. That always gets him annoyed.
Ooh.
The librarian prodded the desk with a long, many-jointed finger. What?
Ooh.
Sorry? The librarian rolled his eyes. It was strange, he felt, that so-called intelligent dogs, horses and dolphins never had any difficulty indicating to humans the vital news of the moment, e.g. that the three children were lost in the cave, or the train was about to take the line leading to the bridge that had been washed away, or similar, while he, only a handful of chromosomes away from wearing a vest, found it difficult to persuade the average human to come in out of the rain. You just couldn't talk to some people.
Ook,
he said, and beckoned. I can't leave the office, said Carrot. I've had orders. The librarian's upper lip rolled back like a blind. Is that a smile? Said Carrot. The librarian shook his head. Someone hasn't committed a crime, have they? Said Carrot.
Ook.
A bad crime?
Ook.
Like murder?
Ook.
Worse than murder?
Ook.
The librarian knuckled over to the door and bounced up and down urgently. Carrot gulped. Orders were orders, yes, but this was something else. The people in this city were capable of anything. He buckled on his breastplate, screwed his sparkling helmet onto his head, and strode towards the door. Then he remembered his responsibilities. He went back to the desk, found a scrap of paper, and painstakingly wrote, Out fighting crime. Please call again later. Thank you. And then he went out onto the streets, untarnished and unafraid. The Supreme Grand Master raised his arms. Brethren, he said, let us begin. It was so easy. All you had to do was channel that great septic reservoir of jealousy and cringing resentment that the brothers had in such abundance, harness their dreadful mundane unpleasantness, which had a force greater in its way than roaring evil, then open your own mind into the place where the dragons went. Vimes found himself grabbed by the arm and pulled inside. The heavy door shut behind him with a definite click.
"It's Lord Mountjoy Gayscale Talonthrust the Third of Ankh," said the apparition, which was dressed in huge and fearsomely padded armour. "You know, I really don't think he can cut the mustard."
"He can't," said Vimes, backing away.
"It really needs two of you."
"It does, doesn't it?" whispered Vimes, his shoulder blades trying to carve their way out through the fence.
"Could you oblige?" boomed the thing.
"What?
Ugh, don't be squeamish, man. You just have to help him up into the air. It's me who has the tricky part. I know it's cruel, but if he can't manage it tonight, then he's for the choppy-chop. Survival of the fittest and all that, don't you know?"
Captain Vimes managed to get a grip on himself. He was clearly in the presence of some sex-crazed would-be murderess, insofar as any gender could be determined under the strange lumpy garments. If it wasn't female, then reference to "it's me who has the tricky part" gave rise to mental images that would haunt him for some time to come. He knew the rich did things differently, but this was going too far.
"Madam," he said coldly, "I am an officer of the watch, and I must warn you that the course of action you are suggesting breaks the laws of this city."
"And also of several of the more straight-laced gods," he added silently. "And I must advise you that his lordship should be released, unharmed, immediately." The figure stared at him in astonishment.
"Why," it said, "it's my bloody dragon."
"Have another drink, not Corporal Nobby," said Sergeant Colon unsteadily.
"I do not mind if I do, not Sergeant Colon," said Nobby.
They were taking inconspicuosity seriously. That ruled out most of the taverns on the Moorpork side of the river, where they were very well known. Now they were in a rather elegant one in downtown Ankh, where they were being as unobtrusive as they knew how. The other drinkers thought they were some kind of cabaret.
"I was thinking," said Sergeant Colon.
"What?"
"If we bought a bottle or two, we could go home, and then we'd be really inconspicuous."
Nobby gave this some thought.
"But he said we've got to keep our ears open," he said. "We're supposed to, detect anything.
"We can do that at my house," said
said Sergeant Cullen. "We could listen all night, really hard."
"That's a good point," said Nobby.
In fact, it sounded better and better the more he thought about it.
"But first," he announced, "I got to pay a visit."
"Me too," said the sergeant. "This detecting business gets to you after a while, doesn't it?"